Join me as I dig deep into the dark secrets of park rangers that they definitely don't want you to know. John McAllister squinted at the dense, towering wall of evergreens that surrounded him, a solitary figure in the vastness of Washington State Park. His breath misted in the early morning chill, and the crunch of his boots on the damp earth was the only sound to break the silence. With a hand on his trusty belt radio, he checked in for the day. "McAllister here," he murmured into the device. The static crackled in response before his partner's voice, Rachel, came through with her usual enthusiasm.
"Good morning, Johnny. Anything interesting on the schedule day?"
John rubbed his stubbled jaw. "The usual. Trail maintenance, a couple of tourists reported some missing supplies. Oh, and keep an eye on the northern trailhead. A few more hikers claimed they had heard something strange last night." Rachel's tone shifted to concern.
"Not again."
John nodded, even though Rachel couldn't see him. "Yeah, not again. The reports of strange occurrences has been increasing, and the local townsfolk around the park had started talking about Bigfoot. It had been a joke at first, but now, with the missing child and the bruised and terrified witnesses, the laughter had turned to fearful whispers. John didn't believe in the supernatural. He was a man of facts and science, a seasoned park ranger who had seen it all. But the tracks he had found, massive, unidentifiable, and disturbingly human-like, had him questioning his beliefs. He continued on his patrol, the weight of his responsibilities heavier than the backpack slung on his shoulder. The forest remained quiet, almost eerily so, as if it was holding its breath, waiting for the next event to unfold. As John approached the northern trailhead, he heard the faint rustle of leaves underfoot, a sound that didn't quite match the gentle breeze. He paused, listening intently. The rustle grew louder, more deliberate. His heart skipped a beat as he realized it was coming from behind him. He spun around, his hand instinctively reaching for his bear spray. Through the curtain of ferns and towering trees, he caught a glimpse of something massive and dark moving swiftly through the underbrush. It was too large to be a bear, too silent to be a deer, and definitely not a hiker. John's mind raced as he fumbled for his radio. Rachel, I think we got a situation, he said, his voice quivering. I need backup. The rustling grew closer. Rachel's voice was a distant echo in his ear, but he could sense her concern.
On my way, John. Stay put and keep me updated.
He swallowed hard, his eyes glued to the spot where he had seen the creature. The forest was silent again, as if it had never been disturbed. But John knew better. The stillness was deceptive, a prelude to the chaos that was about to unravel. The creature's presence was palpable, a heavy, watching silence that seemed to press in on him from all sides. He took a step back, his hand still trembling on the bear spray. The forest floor was littered with snapped branches and trampled ferns, leading down the very trail that the missing child had taken. John's thoughts were a jumble of doubt and anxiety. What was he dealing with? Was it really Bigfoot? Or something else? His training told him to remain calm, to observe and report, but the primal fear that had been bred into humans since time immorally screamed at him to run. He took a deep breath, steeling himself.
This is Ranger McAllister. If you could hear me, please come out. We're here to help.
The silence stretched on, thick and tense. Then, a low, rumbling growl echoed through the trees, sending a shiver down John's spine. It was a sound that didn't belong in this serene park, a sound that seemed to come from the very earth beneath them. The rustling grew louder, closer. John's hand tightened on the radio.
"Rachel," he whispered. "It's coming."
Rachel's response was a jumble of static. John's heart thudded in his chest as the rustling grew into a crescendo. And then, with a suddenness that stole the breath from his lungs, the creature emerged from the shadows. It was nothing like John had ever seen before. It stood on two legs, but its towering frame was covered in a mottled fur that shimmered in the dappled sunlight. Its arms were long, ending with clawed hands, and its face. Its face was a nightmarish amalgamation of human and animal features, with eyes that bore into John's soul. The creature took a step towards him, and John's instincts screamed at him to run. But his duty as a park ranger held him firm. He was here to protect, not to flee. The standoff was taut, a battle of wills between man and beast? Or was it something more? John's hand hovered over the bear spray, ready to deploy it if necessary. The creature paused, as if sensing his fear, and then it took another step. Its massive chest rose and fell with each deep breath, sending a scent that was both earthly and musky. It was a creature of power and primal instinct. John's thoughts raced. Could he communicate with it? Was it a lost soul? A misunderstood creature driven to violence by fear or pain? Or was it a predator, seeking to claim more prey for the unsuspecting humans who dared to enter its domain? The creature tilted its head, studying John with an unsettling intensity. The eyes, so human-like, yet so alien, searched his, and John felt a strange connection, a spark of understanding that transcended language. He slowly lowered his hand from the bear spray, showing no threat.
"I'm not here to harm you," he said,
his voice steady despite his racing heart.
"We just want to keep people safe."
For a moment, the creature remained still, and John dared to hope that he had made some sort of peaceful contact. But then, with the speed that defied its size, it lunged at him. John stumbled back, his hand reflexively reaching for his radio.
"Rachel!" he shouted. "It's coming!"
Rachel's voice was frantic in his ear.
"Shh, John, what's happening?"
John could only manage a strangled,
"Get help!"
before the creature was upon him, its claws swiping through the air with a sound like a whip cracking. He ducked and rolled, the claws narrowly missing his face. He scrambled to his feet, the bear spray now in his hand. He knew that this was his only chance. If he didn't act now, he might not get another. The creature paused, its breath hot and ragged, and John took aim. He had to make this count. One spray and he could incapacitate it, maybe get some answers. But as he pressed the button, the spray hissed uselessly into the air. Panic flooded John's veins as he realized the canister was empty. The creature took advantage of this momentary distraction, knocking the radio from his hand and sending it flying into the brush. Rachel's cries for him were lost to the wilderness. John's survival instincts took over. He turned and sprinted down the trail, his heart hammering in his chest. The creature's heavy footsteps pounded the ground behind him, sending shockwaves through the forest. He knew he couldn't outrun it, but he had to try. As he rounded a bend, a glint of metal caught his eye through the trees. A structure, hidden by the dense foliage, loomed before him. The rusty door of an old research facility stood ajar, the concrete walls overtaken by vines and moss. This building-like facility had been abandoned for years, a relic of a time when the government had conducted secret experiments in these woods. Things that were just rumors, but here it was. John didn't dare to look back, but he could hear the creature gaining on him. With a desperate burst of energy, he leaped through the doorway and into the dim interior of this facility. The stale air was thick with the scent of decay and secrets long buried. The corridor stretched before him, lined with rusted cages and dusty equipment. His flashlight beam danced over the peeling paint and faded labels that hinted at the horrors that had once been conducted here. He stumbled upon a control room, the ancient computers and monitors flickering with life, displaying images of the creature that pursued him. The walls were lined with documents and maps, all marked with the same cryptic symbols that he had seen etched into the trees near the attack sites. The creature was no mere beast. It was the result of a classified government project, one that had gone terribly awry. John's eyes fell upon a control panel, its buttons and levers covered in dust. With trembling hands, he wiped it clean and tried to make sense of the instruments. The creature was getting closer, its growls reverberating through the corridor. In a stroke of luck, he found a button labeled Emergency Lockdown. He slammed his palm down, and the facility sprang to life with a series of metallic clanks and hisses. The door slammed shut behind him, sealing him in the control room. The creature threw its massive weight against the door, the metal bending under the impact. John searched the room for anything that could help him, his eyes settling on a tattered binder labeled Subject Alpha. He flipped through the pages, heart racing, and read about the creature created for military purposes. It had been designed to be the ultimate soldier, but something had gone wrong. The creature had escaped, and the project was buried along with the facility. The creature's roars grew more intense, the doors straining under its onslaught. John knew that he had to act fast. He found a map detailing the creature's containment area, with a secondary exit marked in red. It was his only hope. He sprinted through the facility, dodging falling debris and shattered glass. The creature's rage seemed to be fueling its strength, and John could feel the floor vibrating beneath his feet. He reached the exit, a heavy steel door, and pushed with all his might. The door groaned open, revealing a tunnel that led deeper into the mountain. He stumbled inside, slamming the door shut, and spun the locking wheel with a grunt. The creature's fists pounded on the metal in a cacophony of rage. John didn't dare look back as he descended into the earth. His flashlight beam bobbed over the damp, claustrophobic walls. The tunnel was a labyrinth, filled with echoes of his own frantic breathing and the muffled roars of the creature above. As he stumbled through the dark, his mind raced with the implications of what he had discovered. The government had created Bigfoot, and now it was his responsibility to contain it before it claimed more lives. The weight of his duty felt heavier than ever before. He emerged into a cavern, the air thick with the smell of damp earth and something else. Something feral. His light reflected off a set of glowing eyes, and John knew he had found the creature's lair. He had to be smart to outthink the creature that had eluded capture for so long. The cavern was a maze of stalactites and stalagmites with a large pool of water in the center. John could feel the creature's presence, but it was nowhere to be seen. He approached the water's edge, his light reflecting off the ripples. The glowing eyes grew closer, and he knew he was being watched. As he moved through the cavern, the walls began to change. They were no longer natural rock formations, but smooth concrete, etched with the same cryptic symbols he had seen in the facility. The ground grew slick with something that looked suspiciously like oil, and the air was charged with electricity. John's heart sank as he stumbled into an underground lab, a hidden chamber beneath the earth. The space was vast, with rows of metal cages containing other things. Creatures that were once men, now twisted and unrecognizable, the results of unspeakable experiments. The lab was a testament to human hubris and cruelty. There were vasts of bubbling liquid, charts detailing genetic modifications, and a wall lined with containment pods. The pods held the twisted, half-formed remnants of what looked like humans and animals fused together. The sight was enough to turn his stomach, and he had to remind himself to breathe. The pods hummed with life, and John could see shadows moving within. The failed experiments watched him with a mix of curiosity and malevolence. He knew he couldn't save them all, but he had to try. He approached the nearest pod, the creature inside reaching out with gnarled, desperate hands. John's hand hovered over the release mechanism, his mind racing. What would happen if he set these monsters free? Would they be grateful or attack him? He took a deep breath and made his decision. The pod hissed open, and the creature inside stumbled out, disoriented and snarling. The creature looked at him with a mix of confusion and anger. It was smaller than Bigfoot, but no less terrifying. John stepped back, raising his bear spray again. He had to find a way to communicate, to explain that he meant no harm. But as the creature took another step towards him, the earth trembled, and a roar echoed through the cavern. The Bigfoot had found them. The creature in front of him froze, and John could see the fear in its eyes. It was a fear shared by all creatures who knew that something larger and more powerful was nearby. He knew that he had to act fast, to get out of this place before it was too late. The Bigfoot crashed through the cavern entrance, sending rocks and dirt flying. The creature in front of him took off, and John had no choice but to follow. They moved through the lab, dodging the crumbling structures and debris. The Bigfoot was gaining on them, its roars growing louder. His mind was racing. How could he escape with this creature at his heels? The lab was a death trap, and the government would do anything to keep its secrets buried. He had to find a way to the surface, to expose the truth, and to get help for these poor souls trapped in the bowels of the earth. They bursted into a room that looked like a control center, all screens flickering with the images of the lab's chaos. The creature he had released had led him straight to the heart of the operation. The screens showed Bigfoot smashing through the corridors, the other experiments cowering in their cages. John spotted a lever on the far side of the room, labeled Emergency Evacuation. It was his only hope. He dashed across the room, dodging swinging lights and falling equipment. His hand closed around the lever, and he pulled it with all of his might. The room was plunged into darkness, and the air was filled with the sound of alarms blaring. The creature beside him whimpered, and John could feel the panic rising. His hand fumbled in the dark for his radio, forgetting that he had dropped it outside when the Bigfoot first attacked, but he still had the one that was attached to his shirt. He pressed the button. "Rachel," he said into the static. "I need you to get the word out. This is bigger than just a wild animal attack. There's a government conspiracy down here, and we need to shut it down before it's too late." The creature grabbed his arm, pulling him back towards the tunnel. John didn't know if it was leading him to safety or to a grisly end, but he had no other choice. They ran together through the dark, the only sound the pounding of their feet and the distant echo of Rachel's voice over the radio. Then, as suddenly as the darkness had come, light flooded the cavern. Rachel's backup team had arrived, armed with tranquilizer guns. The creature froze, its eyes wide with terror and confusion. John threw his arms up, shouting for them to hold their fire. They approached cautiously, their lights bobbing through the dust. Rachel's voice called out to him.
"John, are you okay?"
John nodded, his heart in his throat. "I'm here," he croaked. "But we have to be careful. This isn't just a wild animal." The Bigfoot lumbered into view, its eyes wild with fear. Rachel's team took aim, but John stepped in front of them.
"Don't," he shouted. "It's not what we thought."
The creature looked at him, and for a moment, something in its gaze shifted. Recognition, perhaps? Rachel looked from John to the creature and back again, her expression unreadable.
"What are you talking about?"
John took a deep breath. "This isn't just a creature. It's a person, a product of human greed and ignorance." The Bigfoot let out a mournful howl, and the other creatures in the cages echoed in the distance. Rachel's team looked around, their faces a mix of horror and disbelief. One of them approached the creature, holding out a tranquilizer gun tentatively. John stepped closer.
"No," he said firmly. "We're not going to harm it."
Behind him, he glanced back at the control room, his eyes falling on a pile of documents that had been dislodged during their escape. He walked the people back there. He spotted a lab log, its pages yellowed and dog-eared. His heart sank as he read the chilling words. The government had intended to weaponize these creatures, to turn them into living, breathing weapons. This Bigfoot took a step back, its eyes never leaving John's face. Rachel's team exchanged uneasy glances while they were inside this control room, the gravity of the situation weighing on them. John knew deep down that he had to make a choice. If he revealed the truth, he could save these innocent lives. But at what cost? The government would deny everything, discredit him, and the creatures would be destroyed. Or he could protect them, keep the secret, and risk letting the government continue their monstrous experiments. With trembling hands, he picked up the lab log, the weight of the decision heavy in his grip. He turned to Rachel, the flicker of emergency lights casting shadows across her face.
"We just can't leave them here," he said. "We have to get them out."
The team looked at each other, then back at John. They knew what he was asking of them. To go rogue, to betray their oaths for something that could never be proven. But they also knew that the creatures didn't deserve to live in cages, to be poked and prodded like lab rats. With a collective nod, they agreed. They would get the creatures to safety and expose the truth, no matter the cost. The plan was risky, but it was the only way. They had to move quickly and quietly, evading if the facility had security and find a way to free the captives without alerting their captors. Even though everything was overgrown and dusty, doesn't mean that nobody was still around. John led the way, the lab log clutched tightly into his hand, his heart racing with every step. The Bigfoot followed them, a silent sentinel as they moved through the shadowy corridors. The hybrid creatures watched them pass, their eyes filled with hope and desperation. John could feel the weight of their gazes, the unspoken pleas for freedom. They reached a large chamber, the heart of the facility. Here, the cages were filled with more of the twisted experiments, some too horrific to even look at. Rachel gagged, and one of the team members had to turn away. John's resolve hardened. This was the proof they needed, the evidence that would bring down the entire operation. He took out his phone and began taking pictures, the flashing illuminating the grisly scene. They had to move fast before they were discovered. But as he was about to leave, the Bigfoot stopped him with a gentle touch. It pointed to a cage in the corner, where a small, trembling figure huddled in the shadows. John's heart wrenched as he realized it was the missing child, his eyes wide with terror. With a whispered promise, John approached the cage, his hand shaking as he worked the lock. The child looked up at him with a mix of fear and hope, and John knew that no matter what happened next, he had made the right choice. The cage door swung open, and the child rushed into John's arms. He held him tightly, feeling the warmth of his body against his own, a stark contrast to the cold, unforgiving metal that had been their prison.
"We're getting you out of here," he whispered. "All of you."
The team moved quickly, freeing the other creatures and guiding them towards the exit. The Bigfoot stayed by John's side, its eyes never leaving the child. It was clear that it felt a kinship, a bond forged in the depths of their shared suffering. They reached the surface, the moon casting a silver glow over the treetops. The night air was cool and fresh, a stark contrast to the stale stench of the facility. John looked back at the others, his chest tight with a mix of relief and fear for what was to come. They had the evidence, and they had the child. Now all they had to do was to get to safety and tell the world the truth. But he knew it wouldn't be easy. The government would do anything to keep the truth from getting out. But they knew that they had to do the right thing, no matter the consequences. They needed to expose this. And they shall.